Betty Bigambe is someone who tries to ensure the humanity of the people affected by warring factions in Africa. Right now, she's watching the Democratic Republic of Congo. Its president, Joseph Kabila, will visit the White House on Friday to talk about conditions in his country. A renegade general is battling his military there. This is just a few short years after a war that caused the deaths of millions. And if you thought the brutal killings of Rwanda's genocidal history are a thing of the past, violence between Hutus and Tutsis is flaring again, this time in the eastern part of the Congo. Betty Bigambe is a former Uganda minister who helped to negotiate the current ceasefire in her home country. She's a fellow this year at the U.S. Institute of Peace. She was kind enough to join me here in our Washington studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Do you think that it is reasonable to be concerned that another genocide could spring out of the Congo if the Hutu and Tutsi are still fighting one another, or fighting is resurfacing?
Oh, absolutely. The current situation in eastern Congo is very disturbing, very worrying. Worrying in the sense that it is escalating into full-scale war. And General Nkunda being defiant to President Kabila makes the situation much worse. And of course, this usually affects women and children more than anybody else. As a peace activist, I always call and encourage parties to seek dialogue as a first option.
When President Kabila meets with President Bush, who's going to get an earful from whom? Is President Bush going to ask President Kabila if he's doing enough to contain the fighting, or is President Kabila going to ask President Bush to do more to help him?
I really do not know who is going to say what, but my sense is that United States government is friend of Congo, and therefore the government of United States should take advantage of this visit and try to sort out what the issues are with Mr. Kabila and seek a quick solution, because it's not just eastern Congo. Once it starts in eastern Congo, it's likely to destabilize the whole country. And it also has a spillover effect in the neighboring countries.
We keep hearing about the increased use of rape as a weapon. We keep hearing reports that, in fact, if it's even possible, that the brutality is escalating, that women are being horribly mutilated and abused in a way that it's just hard for the mind to even sort of contemplate. And I wonder if that's creating a new dynamic in the region. I mean, who is perpetuating this? Why is this happening?
Well, you know, if you listen to accusations, it's coming from both sides. Government troops are being blamed, and yet they are tasked with the responsibility to protect the people. At the same time, General Nkunda's troops are also being blamed, and yet they claim to be fighting to protect some of their own.
General Nkunda. Nkunda is the renegade general that you're speaking about.
Absolutely, yes. But the sad thing about wars or intrastate wars in Africa is changed. The nature has changed dramatically in the sense that wars are being fought in homes, in villages, in shops, in women because they're getting raped. Children were being abducted and turned into killers. So, first of all, we all need to sit down as Africans to check this. I remember in the past, it was a taboo to rape a woman, to attack somebody who is not armed. But now what has happened that has eroded this culture that were respected, although they were not written?
If you're just joining us, Betty Bigambe has much experience mediating conflicts in Africa. She's now at the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington. If we could back up for just a second. In northern Uganda in 2004, when the conflict between the Lord's Resistance Army and the government forces was going strong, you lived here in the U.S. How did you decide to get involved? And what were the first steps that you took to try to intervene in that conflict?
In 2004, when I decided to return to Uganda and try to solve this problem, I already had a history with it. I had already negotiated with the Lord's Resistance Army. So what really triggered this feeling within me was the fact that I was getting ready to go on a World Bank mission. The TV was on, but I wasn't really paying attention as such. It's just Uganda. And I suddenly turned, and there was this absolutely horrible sight of what had happened in northern Uganda. And it was at that point I told myself, this cannot go on. I mean, the president, President Museveni, many times gave deadlines when the war would end, and yet there was no sight in end. So I decided to go back to him and I wouldn't say pressure, but talks, used reasons so that he would allow a dialogue between the Lord's Resistance Army and the government. In the same vein, I did also persuaded LRA to accept a negotiated settlement.
You actually went into rebel territory for these
right.
negotiations. I think there was really no other choice. How were you able even to do that? How were you able to gain safe passage? How were you able to meet with the appropriate parties?
Well, it takes time. But when you're going, it's not like I'm packing up and going to meet somebody or get into a car. It's walking into the bushes. You also know very well that there are risks. There are great chances of being held a hostage or killed or even maimed. But what I've always thought, and I believe in this, that it is worth trying. It takes a lot. It takes courage. It takes patience. You have to be a very good listener to the parties. And of course, you know, all of them usually feel they're doing the right thing.
It would seem to me that particularly after the violence escalates to a certain level, that becomes its own justification. You know, each party says, well, I have to continue because these people are savages. You know,
absolutely.
I have to continue because these people are sociopaths
right.
and therefore they must be completely annihilated.
Absolutely.
How do you intervene in a cycle like that?
Speak out using rationale. For example, I told President Museveni, I said, you're a father, you have beautiful children. If these beautiful children you have were abducted, how would you feel? Because this is exactly how the people of northern Uganda are going through. The beautiful children are being snatched from them. Put yourself in their shoes and feel it for one moment. And also told him very frankly that the economic cost, he had done some good jobs, but this is something that was affecting the country in many ways. There was need for him to see it realistically. And to the rebels too, you've been fighting for over 20 years. You have a terrible image. Why don't you change this image? You have this opportunity here to talk. And why don't we use this means, this opportunity, to get to the table and have a political settlement rather than pursuing military option.
And are there similarities you see between the violence in northern Uganda and what's currently happening in the Democratic Republic of Congo? And are there any similarities that would lead you to believe that perhaps a resolution is possible there? Because I must say, as an outsider, this is the kind of thing where Americans say, you know what, this is just beyond us. I can't even wrap my head around it.
Right. Similarities, the brutality against the civilians. It's that absolutely identical. Similarity that is very complex. It has a history. The conflict has a history that complicates things. But even in that, if I was to talk to President Kabila, I would ask him to do what Museveni did, appoint a minister for Eastern Congo for the purpose of talking to people, for the purpose of reaching out to the rebels, and not to close doors to possible dialogue. That is the cheapest and the quickest way of ending the conflict.
Is there anything you can tell us to give us cause for hope that there might be a peaceful solution in the offing or possible?
You know, I've lived with people who have been affected by war, women who have been raped, children who have killed or have seen their own families, parents killed. They are very resilient. The world must stand by their side. It's not just about talking about their suffering. The government has the responsibility to provide protection for these women who are being raped, has the responsibility to protect these children who are being abducted and killed. With the help of international community, we should not just expose the problem, but see what kind of protection is required to safeguard the lives of the many innocent people.
Betty Bagambi is currently a senior fellow with the United States Institute of Peace in Washington, D.C. She joined me here in our studios in Washington. Betty Bagambi, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.